You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
We welcome you to Jordan Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, the carousel has begun turning again, as it does this time of year all too frequently for Auburn, I'm afraid, with Will Muschamp heading off to the chickens, to the coop, and two other vacancies being filled in by defensive coordinators as well. Three head coaching spots in the SEC East opened up, and all three were filled by defensive coordinators. So, what do we think about Muschamp leaving, and what do we think about this, what that sort of means overall for the SEC and for Auburn?
Well, let's do with Muschamp first, and then we'll come back to the bigger picture of the other jobs. But, I mean, I don't have any hard feelings about Muschamp leaving for a head coaching job. We knew that was the risk when we hired him, and that's why he had the out of his contract, so he could take that kind of job. And so, the fact that South Carolina offered him a head coaching job and he took it, I don't have any problem with it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, his problem at Florida was he could never get the offense right. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether he'll be able to get that fixed at South Carolina or not. But, you know, I would go beyond, like, I don't have any problem with it. I hope that Muschamp, you know, trashes Georgia and South Carolina and wins the East on a regular basis at South Carolina. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, I don't have any hard feelings. Now, there was all this talk, oh, he's going to leave and go take a coordinator job somewhere else, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. And so all that is just talk. And
wait, Auburn fans talking, saying things that turn out not to be accurate? I can't imagine that.
Well, I mean, it may or may not have been accurate, but it didn't happen. Right. So, you know, it's one of those, you know, what if the – it's a theoretical scenario. Like, what if the other side had won the war or something? So, you could go back, somebody could go back and write their alternate SEC history of that. But, you know, at the same time, the other question about you, we need to ask about Muschamp. I mean, well, how do you feel about it first? Are you upset? Are you unhappy? I mean, I love Muschamp too, is the other part. I think he's a really good defensive coordinator, and I wish he could have hung around for 3 or 4 years because I really think our defense was going to be better in the long run.
Well, that's just it. Regardless of his personality and everything else, there's two things. One, the defense was getting better, and he could recruit, and T. Rupp could recruit. And two, stability. Right? We've talked about stability. So if you had, you know, if you folks had, you know, problems here or there with Muschamp, it was all worth it just to have a stable situation. And instead, you know, we're going to have like our fifth different defensive coordinator in 6 years or something ridiculous. So, and who it's going to be is of concern to me as well.
Well, it's worth having that discussion because he was clearly the best defensive coordinator on the market.
Yeah.
But he was also a real risk to do this, to get offered a head coaching job.
Right.
And I guess a year ago, our thought was, well, if he gets offered a head coaching job, it'll be because Auburn had a great year, and then we'll be okay with it. Right. I never saw a scenario where Auburn had a mediocre year to get offered a head coaching job.
Yeah, we didn't see this whole thing coming. I mean, well, that was the thing is if our offense had been what we thought that it would, and he had come in and made the defense this good, we'd have been up there at the top. You know, we'd have been contending for things. And then if he leaves after that, we're like, well, hey, you know, he got us to the playoffs or he got us to whatever. So God bless and good fortune to you with the chickens. But we got the worst of both worlds. We only got him for 1 year and it was a crap year.
Yep.
So, but that's not his fault. So
no, it's not.
You can't blame him for.
No, but the other part of that is if there's a similar candidate this year,
yeah,
would you hire them or would you lean towards someone that you felt like would be here for 3 or 4 years?
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, the thing is that last year, Gus was in an awesome position because everybody, you know, the narrative was he's a great coach. He's got an absolutely secure job. The only problem on the team was a defensive lapse, and if we fix that, everything will be peachy keen. This year, the narrative in just a few short months is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has to make a hire of somebody that will come in and here's the thing, John. He's got to bring somebody in that can be so good that he can save Gus's job, but not so good that he turns around and leaves again. and he has to be, you know, he has to be somebody willing to come into a situation with a coach who's going to need him to save his job potentially.
I don't think so, because I don't think that's that tough, because A, you know, the pay scale for the Auburn defensive coordinator is going to be, you know, on the top 1% of what coordinators are getting paid around the country. So there's a lot of coordinators that could double their salary by coming to Auburn tomorrow.
Yeah.
And is there risk? Sure. But if they're a good coach and they're confident, then they know they could get another job, you know, if the worst happened. The other part is, you know, if you're coming to be the defensive coordinator to work for Gus, that he's going to turn it all over to you. It isn't going to be a, you know, Saban Kirby Smart situation or a Gus Rhett situation where you don't know who gets the credit or the blame. If you're the defensive coordinator at Auburn, it's all you, 100%, and everybody knows it.
I heard an interesting observation from somebody who usually has pretty good, thoughtful, you know, observations and thoughts about Auburn football today, and I want to see what you think about it. I may have forwarded it to you, and you may have seen it, you may not, but this person said, he says, I think that Muschamp maybe tried to get Gus to make some changes to help out the defense, and that didn't go very far with Gus, but he may have gotten into Lashley's head a little bit, and he says some of the strange play calling that we saw this year may have been a result of Lashley being influenced by Muschamp. What do you make of that?
I mean, I don't know. I could see it. You know, there's all this talk about, oh, there was this other tension between them about football operations stuff. And
yeah.
I mean,
we heard all that the last time that Muschamp was here. Remember that?
Yes. But, and I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything factual about that. How about that?
Yeah.
I don't have facts to back this up.
Right.
And I haven't seen anybody else that has any really either. So there's talk about it, but again, it's one of those things where winning makes everything better and losing makes everything worse.
Sure.
And if Auburn had won 10 games this year, you wouldn't hear any of this crap.
No way.
But we won 6 games this year, and there were times when the defense was, you know, carrying the team and the offense couldn't get out of its own way. And that is going to make the defensive coach just talk,
sure,
and the defensive players talk. And, you know, that is what it is. And the other part of this is that, you know, Tavarius Robinson is going with Muschamp to South Carolina.
Right.
And some Auburn people are like, oh, my gosh, we got to offer him the defensive coordinator job. And he didn't accept it. And this is some huge indictment about the state of Auburn's program.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that for a freaking second.
Right.
Think of it this way. Okay. You're Tavarius Robinson. You have only worked for one defensive coordinator, you know, the last 10 years, whatever, one mentor, and it's Muschamp.
Mm-hmm.
And Muschamp is going to let you be the defensive coordinator at South Carolina. And it'll be in the same situation that Smart and Saban were in, where maybe people will think Muschamp has a lot of influence, and he will. But the other part is, if something goes wrong and you have problems, you can go see Muschamp and work it out. If Tavarius Robinson was a first-time defensive coordinator at Auburn and he had problems or something went wrong, who's he going to call on the team, on the staff?
Yeah.
Who's he going to ask for help? So I think that was, you know, I got it. I understood that sentiment. But at the same time, being a first-time defensive coordinator on this coaching staff where you're basically on an island if you're the defensive coordinator is different and it's difficult. And I don't have any problem with Robinson going Muschamp.
No, I understand him going, and it's probably a wiser move in the long term. Though it does, you know, again, the optics of it in some ways are I can understand that too, people feeling that way. But it kind of, you know, begs the question now, where do we turn now? And I saw this was it was on AL.com, so it had to be true. But someone on there reported that a top recruit in Phoenix City said that Gus says he will visit him on Friday with his new defensive coordinator.
Okay.
So that kind of begs the question, does Gus have somebody in mind? Is somebody lined up? Does he just expect to have it done by then, or is there somebody already on the staff? Certainly there's two names on the current staff that it
– Well, there's only two defensive coaches on the current staff.
Now, okay.
Let's keep
there's,
going.
There's two names that come up, right? Lance Thompson and Rodney Garner. Would you be interested in either one of them being our defensive coordinator next year, especially – especially knowing that next year a lot of people think Gus's job may well be on the line? And again, I think that's stupid, but that's what people are saying.
Okay. We're going to start at the I'm going to tell you my answer, and then I'm going to tell you my thoughts about the search.
Okay.
Gardner has long been, you know, he's not a defensive coordinator. He's a defensive line coach. He's not interested in being a defensive coordinator, I don't think.
Okay.
And I don't think, you know, people think that he would be a good defense coordinator. I'm sure Thompson thinks he can do the job. He may get an interview. He would not be my first choice.
No. The way that I hear people talking about him is like Saban was about to fire him, and we kind of took him off Saban's hands.
Again, that is Alabama's spin for him leaving.
Okay. That's what I want to get out there, that's Alabama's
that's
spin.
That is my feeling about that discussion.
Okay.
This is how I feel about the search. I mean, you said he's going to bring him on Friday. Friday is plenty of time to do this. Okay. Mm-hmm. All the coaches in America who would be interested in the job know it's available. They can have their agents, you know, send their applications, letters, whatever they need to do to the Auburn Athletic Department and get on the list, and then Gus and them can decide. Whenever Auburn has had a coordinator opening, I don't do all this stuff where people are like, oh, well, this guy's, you know, an Auburn guy or whatever. That's the boat that people get themselves into or they get in trouble, where Southern Cal ends up hiring people like Lane Kiffin and Sarkisian.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to this a little bit like the way that Tuberville did this kind of stuff, and eventually that led to a problem, but I look at statistics and advanced statistics about whose defense was good last year, and that's where I start. I don't look at who's available or who has an Auburn connection. I look at whose defense was good and start from the top of that list to go down and say, okay, who can we get out of that list?
Mm-hmm.
AL.com wrote an article today with like 11 guys on it.
I saw that.
And probably half of them, my immediate reaction was no, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jeremy Pruitt, we're not hiring him. He's a good defensive coordinator, and I respect him. And I think he gives Gus problems, but I would be stunned if we hired him.
I'm going to bring that up, that list.
And
here it is.
Paul Rhodes is on that list.
Oh, wait.
I don't have any. Paul Rhodes is a good defensive coordinator. He was a defensive coordinator in Auburn before he got his head coaching job. I don't have any problem with that. Some of the other guys, like the Arizona State guys on there, good gosh, no.
Mm-hmm.
They are the most fundamentally insane defense you've ever seen in your whole life. They just throw guys at the quarterback from every direction, and it leads to big problems in that conference. No, no, no. But there were a couple guys on there and a couple other guys I thought about that I think make a lot of sense. Your suggestion was, again, more in the way I think about this stuff by looking at who's good on defense. That you suggested the Boston College guy.
Yeah. But he's not on the AL.com list. So.
Well, again, there's reasons. I mean, I looked him up. His name's Don Brown. He's a much older guy. Okay. And he's spent his entire life in the Northeast, and he's never been, south of Connecticut or whatever. So, that's not really an option. But a couple of the guys on their list I really liked. Dave Aranda, the Wisconsin defensive coordinator, is excellent, and I'd be delighted if we got him. I mean, Charles Kelly, the Florida State guy, is excellent. They're getting ready to play in the Peach Bowl. He's an Auburn alum. I mean, he played under Dye. He's an excellent coordinator, and Auburn could probably pay him more than Florida State's paying him.
Yeah.
Womack at Ole Miss was on their list, and he's a very good defensive coordinator, and he's done a good job at Ole Miss the last couple of years.
John Thompson comes up all the time. Wasn't he with Gus at Arkansas State?
I think at one point, yes. No, Thompson, that would not be in my top 8 or 9 choices.
What about the former UAB coach? Wasn't he a great defensive whiz, and we were looking at him last year before we got Muschamp?
I think we were, but I don't know where he went.
Yeah.
I've started looking around at other people that are, who else is really good on defense. I mean, I don't know. I looked up the Penn State defensive coordinator, Bob Shoup, because they've been excellent the last couple of years. But again, he's a guy who's never coached south of Virginia, never recruited south of Virginia, but he's an excellent defensive coordinator. If you want somebody that can coordinate the defense and do the job successfully, he falls into that pile. One of the guys that they had on the AL.com article, kind of the also – a couple of the guys in the also receiving votes category were the guy at NC State and the guy at Appalachian State, and both of those were in the top 20 in a lot of adjusted stats on defense this year.
Yeah.
So those would both be guys that I would look at as potential Auburn candidates. But you got to start, and then we'll get to this in reference to how I feel about how Georgia and some of these other schools conducted the search. You got to start with who would you really want if you could have anybody, and call those people and offer them the job and go down the list. And so I think you got to start, really high and work and go down from there. You don't start with, Thompson or whatever. I mean, that's, you're settling if you do that. So,
there's a up and coming defensive coordinator who's coached at places like Texas, and Central Florida. That's now he's over at North Carolina doing good work.
Well, that's the fun scenario, is hiring Gene Chizik back.
They basically just switched. In other words, you have, instead of Chizik and Gus, you have Gus and Chizik.
It would be fun, and I think Chizik is a good defensive coordinator. He did, notwithstanding how many yards Clemson had in that game. I think Chizik did an excellent job with North Carolina this year. He made their defense 100 times better.
What if after 2011 we had offered Gus the head coaching job and demoted Chizik to defensive coordinator?
Chizik would not have done it.
Well,
it's an ego thing.
Oh, I know. I realize that. But let's say, what if he had? 2012 would have been a lot better, right?
Sure.
And I don't know about 2013, but if he was still there, we would have stability. Maybe that's how we should have had it all along. Maybe we should have hired. I know you couldn't have brought Gus. I mean, you couldn't have brought Chizik in as a defensive coordinator when he was the head coach at Iowa State. But it is funny that when you look back at it and realize that relationship probably would have worked better than the one that we had, not counting 2010.
Sure, but we needed to flesh out, I think, some of the Chizik.
Yeah.
Well, staff, so
yeah.
So
don't really have a favorite right now. Don't really feel like you know which way it's going, but you just think it's going to get done in the next few days.
I think it's going to get done in the next 3 or 4 days. I mean, if you gave me, I would call those two guys. I would call Aranda at Wisconsin and Kelly at Florida State, and offer a giant pile of money.
Well, we've got a giant pile of money laying around that we're not going to be paying Muschamp.
That's exactly right. You don't have to offer them what you're paying Muschamp, but I mean, Aranda makes like $500,000. You could offer him $1 million a year.
Oh yeah.
And say, come coach in the SEC for $1 million a year.
Come on down.
See what he thinks. And I would do the same thing for Kelly. I think he's an excellent coach. He did a really good job for Florida State this year because they lost a lot of experienced guys the last couple of years. So I would start there, and then I would work backwards from there.
Okay.
To some other candidates. But, you know, I mean, you look at who else is really good. I mean, this is the problem with, like, I'm looking at one of the advanced stats I like to look at is the S&P ratings on defense, which is on Football Outsiders. And I'm going to run down. Here's the top teams. Like, and this is also relates to Auburn's search, okay? A lot of other teams are now looking for defensive coordinators, okay?
Right.
Alabama's number one, looking for a defensive coordinator. Michigan's number two. Their defensive coordinator is now the head coach at Maryland. They're shopping for one. Mm. Boston College is number three. Northwestern's number four. Really, their head coach has a lot to do with their defense. Florida's number five. Clemson's number six. They're in the playoff. We're not getting him. Wisconsin's number seven. He's one on my list. Ohio State's number eight. Their defensive coordinator just left for head coaching job. Florida State's number nine. He's on my list. Washington's number 10. You know, I don't think we're going to get the guy that works for Peterson, but we could call him. You know, Georgia's number 11. Or Pruitt's available, but he would not be on my list. I think he had a lot of issues with Rick, and
yeah.
You know, I think he's going to end up, you know, going back to Alabama or Georgia, but we'll see. I mean, Oklahoma's on the list; they're in the playoff. Michigan State's on the next; they're in the playoff. And like then Missouri, they just hired the defense coordinator to be the head coach. You know, and then you get to like Penn State and West Virginia. I looked at their defensive coordinator is a West Virginia guy. I don't think there's any chance he's leaving there. Vanderbilt, we know the head coach. You know, yeah. Coordinated a bunch of their defense. So, and you go on down the list, like Ole Miss is up here. Louisville's up here. We're not going to hire Grantham. No freaking way. So anyhow, that's the way I look at this kind of stuff and approach it. So the NC State guy, they were really good this year in a lot of areas, and that's somebody I would look at. And they've done a good job. They played Florida State better than a lot of teams in that conference the last couple of years. So that's another guy to keep in mind. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good stuff. I mean, somewhere in there is our maybe is our next defensive coordinator, and people are saying this is the most important hire that Gus has ever made in some ways, and if it doesn't turn out well, ..
Well, I mean, and you can't. I think you have to hire somebody you think can hit the ground running and do an excellent job next year.
Yeah,
but you also we need to hire somebody that's going to be here 3 or 4 years. Because we really are, we're like a little boat going down a river, you know, and we're zigzagging. We hit one bank, and we zigzag the other way, go to the other bank, we zigzag back to the other bank, and we're expending a lot of energy without getting, you know, as far as we could.
Right.
And a lot of that is wasted energy and all these changing systems and players learning new stuff, and it's. One of the reasons we struggle on defense is because we've changed so much. We have guys that are, you know, that were recruited to fit a specific position. It was like three defenses ago. That doesn't exist anymore in whoever we hire. So that's – you got to hire somebody and keep them and recruit guys to fit that job, and then it'll be all right. So
we need the stability on defense that we've had on offense for the last couple of years. So. Well – what do you think about – I mean, you had a note in here. Where do you want to go with this as far as the current state of Auburn football and fandom? Because certainly I've had some choice things to say. What are you thinking?
Well, I mean, I guess what I just wanted to say is I think – and I want to, you know, you to talk about your perception of how Auburn fans have been since the season. You know, I get it. We're unhappy. We're unhappy. We wish we won more football games, and you know, I wished we had beaten Alabama and done all those things, but it didn't happen. But at the same time, I think a lot of Auburn people, you know, every bad thing that everybody ever says about our program, some Auburn people believe it, and it just they let it get to them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you've seen this in dealing with Auburn people, and a lot of them are, you know, and I'm not being naive or unrealistic. I mean, next year is important for Gus. You know, he went 6-6 and the offense was bad this year.
Yeah.
And the offense has got to get going again because he's the offense guy. Yeah. If the offense is going to be bad, you know, then why do we have this offensive head coach?
Right.
So, but at the same time, like, I don't believe for a second that, you know, Gus forgot how to coach, that he forgot how to coach offense. No. And I think the stuff that he does on offense works, and it will continue. It's worked before and it will continue to work. And people were saying, you know, 10 years ago that high school stuff isn't going to work. And people were saying it in 2011, the high school stuff wasn't going to work. And people were saying it in 2012, and it works and it's going to continue to work.
You tell me.
And I mean, it worked even against freaking Alabama. We had no quarterback.
Yes.
You know, we had more yards in the first half against them than freaking Leonard Fournette did. So the stuff they do works. We just need good quarterback play. If we get good quarterback play, it'll work.
That's what I'm saying. You put Nick Marshall and Trey Mason instead of Jeremy or Sean and one of the running backs.
And Peyton Barber.
Yeah, on this team, and you tell me we're 6-6.
We're not. We'd be the freaking Sugar Bowl instead of Ole Miss at the worst.
Absolutely. And Auburn fans, honestly, see, here's part of it. You and I live a fair distance away from the deep South. And
we're insulated.
We are insulated. We only are really around it when we go on the internet. We don't have to hear about it from our coworkers. We don't have to hear about it from our kids, from our neighbors. Nothing like that. I see beaten down, demoralized Illinois fans every day. That's what I see. In fact, honestly, I see a lot more Missouri fans in jackets and T-shirts and stuff than I ever do Illinois. Then I get on Twitter, and here's what I do. Twitter opens, and I immediately go, that's pretty much me looking at Twitter. You noted here, I threatened to block. I like how you put it. Van, you basically said Van threatens to ban everyone on Twitter but bots. the bots haven't really bothered me lately. They're starting to look real good. Now, honestly, there's a whole lot of great, great, great Auburn fans on Twitter, and so many of them have backed me up. And let me just throw out an acknowledgement here to all you fine Auburn people on Twitter who have absolutely backed me up, or I've backed you up. We've agreed. We've supported Auburn, not in a sycophant type way. You know, not in a mealy mouth, mushy way, but in a principled way, in a firm belief that we know what we're talking about and that people are being ridiculous. The ones I'm referring to as just getting frustrated with, these are people who basically say, Gus is a horrible coach. We should have never hired him. He doesn't know what he's doing, and this is all his fault. And I mean, you know, like I even made the point, and I don't want to go too far about this, but I made the point that we could very well lose to Memphis because this is a Memphis team that beat Ole Miss and is a very good team. And we could, you know, and we're not playing all that well, and we could very easily lose to Memphis. And I was saying that, you know, that's just going to make it worse because there's going to be people that don't say, well, this was a really good Memphis team and Auburn's having a really, you know, bad year. And so, well, you know, too bad we drew a good up-and-coming tough Memphis team. Instead, they're going to go, yeah, Auburn sucks. Gus sucks because they couldn't even beat Memphis. Lowly, crappy Memphis. They can't even beat them. So, when I said that, my point was that people are going to blow it out of proportion. They're going to read things into it that they shouldn't. And instead, I had all these people replying back to me saying, if we lose to Memphis, they ought to fire Gus immediately. It's all Gus's fault. I'm going, you can't say that. It's ridiculous. So, because it's a very real possibility that we could lose to Memphis. And that doesn't mean that we're getting worse. It means that we're playing a very good team in a bowl that we're probably not all that excited to go to, honestly. Remember, Nick Saban has asserted Saban's third law of physics is if you lose a crappy bowl game you didn't want to go to, it's not your fault. Blame the fans.
No,
or blame the NFL.
You didn't want to be there.
Didn't want to be there. It's the NFL's fault, remember?
The NFL draft. Yeah.
It's the fans' fault because they don't support you. It's everybody's fault but yours. That is Nick Saban's iron law of excuses. And so, you know, if we go and lose to Memphis, hey, we didn't want to be in Birmingham anyway.
I mean, it is your point. You make one good point in that, and we'll get to the bowl matchups as well. But Auburn is playing a better team in our bowl game than some SEC teams that are ahead of us are playing in their bowl game. So, absolutely.
Hey, let me. You just wait till I get to my factoid of the week.
All right. Well, the other part of it I want to say about this is that, you know, I think, but the part that got me mad was people were freaking out like Tavarius Robinson leaving was some kind of indictment about Auburn or
right.
Gus Malzahn, and I thought that was ridiculous.
Right.
I the idea that he went with Muschamp was so like he was fleeing the sinking ship or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it that way.
No.
And I think, you know, there are a lot of people who don't want, you know, not Auburn fans, but people out there in the state of Alabama and in other places who don't want Auburn to succeed and love to say bad things about Auburn when things, especially when things aren't going well.
Yep.
And a lot of Auburn fans, you know, so these guys that don't want Auburn to succeed like to fan the flames of that kind of stuff and make it sound a lot worse than it is. And some Auburn fans recently have turned into really kind of Chicken Littles.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not some kind of blank apologist for Auburn where I think everything is perfect, because I don't. I mean, I feel like we've criticized the coaches pretty regularly on this show this year.
I think so, yeah.
But at the same time, you know, the world isn't ending here. I mean, you know, this was not 2012 at all. And, you know, I really think we're a quarterback away from being back to being freaking competitive for the West title. So,
absolutely.
You know, everybody else needs to just relax on that. And that's not, you know, blowing blind optimism at people. That's from watching the games.
No, yeah. There were so many people that were tweeting me, and essentially what they were saying was, Either you believe that Gus should be fired immediately and is a disaster and never knew how to coach and 2010 and 2013 never actually happened, or you think there's absolutely nothing wrong and it's all great and you're just a total blind optimist and sunshine and all that. And I'm just like, there's a vast gulf of distance between those two positions.
Exactly.
And I can't tell you how many tweets I had to reply back to people where they would say something like, well, you know, you have to think that, you know, after we'd go around on that, they'd say, well, you have to admit that Gus should be criticized or something. I say, sure. We've done that all season, like you said. Nobody's saying they don't deserve criticism. We're just saying there's a far cry between criticizing and wanting to get better versus pretending that all the good stuff never happened. And I honestly feel like some of these are those old Petrino people that coming out of the woodwork. They scampered off into the shadows when Petrino, you know, wet the bed on himself, and Gus turned out to be a great hire, and now they're seeing the opportunity to come back out. You know, when the lights go off, they're creeping back out from the woodwork. You know, and that's kind of how I see them. So
the Petrino people,
the Petrinoids. Ugh, I thought we beat the Petrinoids down this year, but here they come again. So, well, anyway, anything else about the current state before we get into our...
The only thing I want to say is that, you know, the other topic this relates to is your feelings or discussions before, you know, on our preview show before the Iron Bowl, where in kind of the optimism, pessimism, and realism as an Auburn fan,
mm-hmm.
where we got feedback from some of the listeners that were unhappy because you were really negative in that show. And so,
oh, yeah, I forgot about it. There's been so much since then that I kind of forgot about it.
That's kind of water under the bridge. But some of it is this thing that where you felt like you were being realistic.
Yeah.
You know, so talk about that for a second.
Well, I guess, this is where I was saying that I just didn't feel like we were going to win, and people were right. That what you're talking about, and people yes. were jumping all over me and saying that I was being too pessimistic. Well, then we turn around, you know, this week, and I've had all these people saying I'm being way too optimistic. So I just can't catch a break with these people. Honestly, I just can't. I just have to not give a crap what they think, because I'm trying to be realistic to the given moment. Right? It's one thing to say, See, it's just like with the Memphis thing I was just talking about. It's two different things. It's one thing to say the way the program currently is at this minute, we may not beat Memphis and we sure weren't going to beat Alabama, even though we played them pretty tough as it turned out. But it's another thing to say the program is in disarray and can't be fixed and we should fire Gus. That's two completely different things. And I just think there's a whole lot of fans out there that seem to think if one, then the other.
Yes. So, I mean, and honestly, you know, the best cure for this in the short term is hire a good defensive coordinator, even if it's not a household name, a good defensive coordinator that'll be here for 3 or 4 years that can, you know, kind of build some solidity on that side of the ball, some consistency, and then go out and beat Memphis and play well in the bowl game.
And then have a good signing day in February.
That's right. I mean, I think those three things back to back to back will put a lot of this to rest. So
we're going
to
have a good mobile quarterback on. I was pointing out today that if you think that Auburn needs a dual threat quarterback to succeed, the next three quarterbacks to walk onto our campus likely will be dual threat quarterbacks.
I think you're correct.
So, and we got two of them coming in maybe in January. So there you go. All right, let's see real quick.
Factoid of the week.
Factoid of the week.
Speaking of the bowl situation, I've always said that I want Auburn to go to the biggest, best bowl possible, now the playoffs or whatever. But if they can't, right, if some calamity mm-hmm. strikes the team and they end up doing, you know, like they did this year or a little better, I wanted them to go to the Music City Bowl so I can go see them and take my family. It's only 4 hours away from here. I'd settle for the Liberty Bowl, also called the Arctic Bowl, right? It's always freezing cold in Memphis and whenever, but I would settle for either one of those bowls. Here's what burns me up, John. What two teams will actually be playing in the Music City Bowl because Auburn wasn't apparently good enough to get to the Music City Bowl?
Is that the one with Texas A&M in it?
Texas A&M and Louisville. What do those two teams have in common this year? Texas A&M.
We beat them both.
We beat them both. Yes. So we don't get to go to a bowl where I could take my family to see them. And instead, two teams that we beat get to go to that bowl. Why does Louisville get to go? Because they finished 7-5. Why did they finish 7-5? Because they're in the freaking ACC. That's my position.
I don't have any problem with that position.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
All right. So what have we got in the mailbox this week besides bills?
All right. Our first
question. We got to get some sponsors to pay the bills around here, my friend.
We're working on that.
We need some sponsors. We have bills to pay. I'm building a studio. The palatial White Rocket Studios are going to be going up over Christmas break, man. We got to have revenue. We need a revenue stream.
If you have any suggestions for sponsors, we're working on that topic, but we'd be welcome to listen.
We welcome them, yes.
All right. First question comes from regular question asker Auburn Elvis.
Yes.
Imagine this. Nick Saban exits the playoff early again this year and bolts for the NFL. Alabama backs up a truckload of cash. All right.
Go ahead.
Alabama backs up a truckload of cash to Kirby Smart's door, hiring him back and break his contract with Georgia. Best Christmas ever?
Yeah, I still hold out hope that Texas will come for Saban again.
I'm going to tell you what's coming for Saban. It's retirement.
I hope so.
He will be the third oldest coach or fourth oldest coach in college football next year.
Here's another
factoid of the week.
Factoid of the week.
By winning the SEC championship this year, Nick Saban has moved into a tie with Pat Dye with four SEC championships each.
I saw that.
Yep.
All right. Our next question comes from regular question asker, Reynolds Wolf.
Hold on. I haven't got it done yet. I have to do some actual infrastructure changes here. I'm working on a new introduction for Reynolds since he's now a regular question asker, and we love his questions. He always has great questions. He could have a whole other career in sports journalism if he gets tired of the weather, I think. Bear that in mind, Reynolds. And so I'm sure he's laughing right now. So here's just the raw audio. I'm going to overlay. Actually, you know what? I think I've got. Yeah, here we go. Okay, here we go.
Unwanted neighbor that comes over and visits.
From the Weather Channel, Reynolds Wolf.
Thunder snow.
What do you think?
Not bad. I'm not sure how that's going to come out, but not bad.
I'm not sure Reynolds is going to approve of that. I may get an angry message from Reynolds tomorrow afternoon after the show's been up a while. He's like, seriously, man? But I found that on YouTube. And I thought it was such an awesome audio clip. I got to do it again. I'm going to like this. All right, let me close that out. So what's Reynolds' question? I think Reynolds had some good questions this week, didn't he?
I did. He said, if you had a time machine and you could pluck any two players from Auburn's past and place them on next year's roster, who would you choose?
Sorry, you were really loud there. I had to unplug you again. Okay. If I could take any two players from Auburn's roster, what?
And place them, any two players from Auburn's past, okay, and place them on next season's roster, who would you choose? And to make it harder,
yeah,
they cannot be Heisman winners.
So I can't take Cam and Bo.
No. And you must pick one for offense and one for defense.
I'm thinking on defense I want Nick Fairley at his prime. I mean, Tracy Rocker would be great and all, but man, Nick Fairley was a force of nature, wasn't he? He changed games single-handedly in a way that you don't see many defensive players doing. And as for offense, golly, if I can't have Cam and I can't have Bo, that we need a quarterback. I mean,
You could take like young Brandon Cox. I mean, or young Damian Craig. Boom, Damian in this offense.
Yeah, 1997 Damian Craig and Nick Fairley. That would be pretty. Damian Craig as a young man in this offense would be incredible. I mean, he'd be Nick Marshall in some ways.
But he was a much better passer.
But a better passer, right, absolutely.
But he was fast.
What do you think?
Defense, I get the fairway thing. Tracy Rocker was the best defensive lineman in the country his senior year.
Yeah.
we've had a lot of great other great defensive players, too. I mean, a lot of great defensive backs. Carlos Rogers. James Willis, somebody like that.
Yeah, a good linebacker.
Somebody on the outside, like if we're worried about pass rush, somebody like Kevin Green or Andre Bruce.
Well, I just think about how mediocre our linebacker play and our secondary play was in 2010, and yet Nick Fairley could single-handedly win a game, even when Cam didn't.
Sure.
So
he was definitely a playmaker, that's for sure.
So. That's for sure, yeah.
All right, and his next question is, you may choose one offensive and defensive coordinator from Auburn's past to be on next year's team. Who would you pick?
Well, offensive coordinator, I want our 2009-2010 offensive coordinator, which we have currently as our head coach. There's just no question. I mean, we've never had an offensive coordinator I've liked as much as Gus, and I mean, it's not even close. And that certainly colors my perceptions about current things now. I freely admit that. Defensive coordinator. We've had several pretty good ones. I mean, Wayne Hall in his prime was pretty good before he got interested in trucking and stuff. You know,
sure.
Those,
I mean,
those 80s
those
defenses
were excellent.
The Wayne Hall.
They were excellent.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, you'd have to look at like Chizik's 04 or Muschamp's 06, 07 or
I
don't know what else.
Just, I mean, again, 2007. It wasn't the dark ages. Okay, less than 10 years ago, Auburn was in the top five in the country in total and scoring defense.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Our next question comes we got a little feedback about your Les Miles segment.
Oh, goody, goody. Let's hear.
This is from
Or do I want to hear? Hold on a minute.
No.
Should I just
blame yourself
for even trying? Yeah.
It's from I think we got a couple of these. The first one's from Lionel Cornbank Jr.
Yeah.
Who says, if you must bring more coaches on the show, I'd like to hear a roundtable of former Auburn coaches.
Oh, God. You're not asking for
no pressure.
No pressure there, yeah.
And he says, what other events occurred this season in Les Miles' alternate college football universe?
By the way, have you noticed I'm starting to turn into Pat Dye? So there's one former Auburn coach because I'm coughing all the time. I've been coughing since the beginning of October.
You got to cough and say Lays a bunch. Golden Flake, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to take my pants off in the lake. And Damian Craig. Who was our, let's see, what was the second part of the question?
What other events occurred in Les Miles' alternate college football universe?
I'm not prepared. I have to think about that one a little bit. I'm not prepared to venture into it right now. After the alien invasion, it all just went to pot, honestly. But those aliens, those young alien men, they competed. They competed hard, they deserve our appreciation for the toughness of their UFO, their flying saucers, quality construction, quality.
All right, we're moving on. Less
probably for the best.
Our next question comes from Tiger Beasley, who says, you know, based on our discussion about the holding calls in the Alabama game and now the phantom offsides penalty at the end of the North Carolina Clemson game, yeah, officiating was really suspect this year. Mm-hmm. Would it be better to have, you know, BCS or NCAA wide officiating? Because it seems like conferences have a real incentive to ensure the playoff spot, which is what it looked like in that Clemson game.
It's what it looked like in the Iron
Bowl.
What
do you think do we need to change? Is there just been some real calls to change the officiating structure after this year?
Change the allocation of referees and all. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the referees work for the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives them ultimately the conference has an incentive to get the team into the playoff. So there's maybe the referees have pressure on them to go a certain way. Beyond that, I think the officiating has just been poor overall in a lot of games this year around the country, and we just need better referees. And, you know, so that's one of those like more time, more money, more training kind of things. And I'm not sure that's going to turn around overnight.
Yeah, it's a multi-million dollar industry now, and yet they're using it's one of those things where you've built up an infrastructure around it, and you're still using kind of a rickety old system from 50 years ago, maybe, for that part of it. So
that's right.
There should be plenty of money now available to do something about it.
It's true. Our next question comes from KC1, who says, is it possible the offense was slowed down to accommodate Muschamp's defense, or was it simply a lack of proficiency?
Well, that's what I was talking about a while ago, is this theory that even if it wasn't Gus, maybe Rhett was trying to do some things. But honestly, I don't think that coming out and throwing the ball three straight incompletions with Sean White, you know, against Georgia or whatever it was trying to help the defense. That was, if anything, making it worse for the defense, getting them back on, stopping the clock, you know, and getting them back on the field that much faster. So I don't know what to think about that, but no, I think that the problems with the problems with the offense this year were simply, that they really were blindsided by how the quarterback play turned out. And the running back play, as decent as it was at times, just never quite gelled, you know? And then there's also the whole mystery of the missing Javon Robinson through the first half of the season and the missing Javon Robinson in the second half of games in the second half of the season. So it's just bizarre. And Rock Thomas, I mean, there's even talk that Rock Thomas might transfer. I mean, who would have seen any of this coming 6 months ago?
I don't know. Our next question comes from Tony Barnhard, who says, is it just me or is Mike Shula with the Carolina Panthers running the Gus Malzahn offense better than Malzahn is?
Yeah, who was it? Somebody else was running Gus's offense. Was it Alabama against Florida was running the Gus's offense, I want to say, maybe? I think maybe it was. Somebody was using it very – yeah, I think it was. So, yeah, I have to say that this season Gus has not been the best coach running Gus's offense in long stretches, and that, yeah, that is deeply troubling to me, but we'll see.
All right. Ross Hatcher says, discuss the if-when of underclassmen leaving early. Is Daniel Carlson the one with the best resume?
Well,
that's a good question.
No kidding. No kidding, yeah. Have they announced the kicking winner yet?
No, I think it's tonight. I mean, I haven't looked at Twitter while we're doing the show, but I think they're at the ceremony tonight, I think. Maybe they announce it later. A lot of those awards, like, they have the banquet, but they don't tell anybody. Maybe ESPN announces on a TV show. But he's at the thing right now, so he's going to know.
Oh, okay. Carlson. Well, that's cool. I mean, I wish we could win that just because we always have kickers that are in the running for this thing, and we never win.
I need to go back and look. I know the NFL pushed back the deadline after Saban and some other coaches were fussing about it because it was too close to the playoff games. So yeah. I think it's like mid-January, like the 15th or 18th or something like that when they have to decide. In terms of Auburn players, you know, we talked about this a little bit. It's Carl Lawson, Montrevious Adams, the two offensive tackles, Sean Coleman and Avery Young. Those are the four guys that we got to worry about. The offensive tackles, I don't know. I mean, they're good. I don't think either one of them is like a first or second round pick right now. I think I think Young could be with another year maybe, but you never know. And again, like, you never know what somebody's personal situation is and if it's the best thing for them and their family, then go do it. And again, like, Lawson with the injuries, I wouldn't blame him for a second if he went pro. Because, you know, the idea, what if he gets hurt again, like in the spring? Sure. So, you know, I wouldn't blame him if he decided. And I think he's got enough talent and ability and enough good plays on film that he would get drafted and go do well.
Well, let's not give him any ideas, though. He doesn't need to be thinking that way.
He's already thinking that whether we say it or not. And his family and friends are whispering in his ear about it right now because, you know, then he gets a contract and stuff, so.
Yeah.
I guess Albis says, Auburn's a new defensive coordinator. Who would you pick? I think we've kind of covered most of
that. Yeah, we covered that. So.
All right. Harvey Ferrier says, does the thought of Lance Thompson as Auburn's next defensive coordinator worry you?
Yeah, I would not be happy about that. If Gus felt like he was absolutely the best choice, I would be willing to give it a shot. But I would also feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, again, he may be the coordinator during the bowl game.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
That's true.
Josh Uwe says, I mean, again, this is the kind of question that drives Van off the cliff. Are you ready?
Oh, my God!
If Gus is going after next year, who should our pick for head coach be? We're not answering
that. Oh, my God!
Van, you want to answer that question?
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
It's a trap. All right. Rusty Owen says, two questions. Is there something systematic inside the football program that's been alleged? And what are the odds we hire a good defensive coordinator? I don't have any evidence about inside. I think, you know, you have people with strong personalities. You know, people are always trying to – I mean, I know there's you know, another story I heard about Robinson was unhappy about, you know, people at Auburn talking about complying with NCAA rules and that kind of stuff. And he felt like other schools were going to push the envelope more than he could and stuff. But at the same time, that's like, you always got to have people that are like, hey, we need to be more aggressive, and other people that are, you know, that are looking at the rules and looking at the law and saying, this is how we have to do things. If you don't have that, then you're just kind of sitting around doing the same thing you've always done. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with any of that. I don't think it was some kind of crisis. And I think that, I mean, again, Auburn's a good job. There's good talent. It's a high profile job. You're going to make a lot of money and get on TV. And if you, I mean, again, a reasonable person would say, I'm going to make $1 million a year. I'm going to be on TV a lot. I'm going to coach some good players. And if the Malls on offense returns to anything coaching for, you know, approaching what it, we think it has, you know, should be, then I only have to hold teams under 30. So, yeah, that's not a terrible job.
The next person that asks me a question about who Auburn's next head coach will be, I'm just going to start reading from the phone book. I'm going to start reading Yellow Page ads.
All right, and our last question is from Earl at Prowler 01, who says, mm-hmm. Is Mark Ingram doomed to keep watching Cam come from behind in his teams as penance for his lackluster Heisman campaign?
I'm sorry, I was just getting a special report in. Say that again, and I'll tell you what mine was.
He says, is Mark Ingram doomed to keep watching Cam come from behind in his teams as penance for his lackluster Heisman campaign?
Who was the first person you mentioned?
Mark Ingram.
Oh, absolutely. Heck yeah. I'm sorry, I just got a bulletin from someone generally in the know.
Mm-hmm.
Says, Gus has been in contact several times with Kelly at Florida State and is supposed to call him again tonight. This is Monday night that we're recording this.
Yeah. Well, again, we'll see.
We'll see. I like the sound of it.
That's enough listener mail for this week. Thank you for your questions. Please send us some more again. And if you ready to talk about some other football games?
I've got Smithton Real Estate listings open here if you're interested. There's a house on Cypress Oak Lane for $299,000.
I'm not interested in that at all.
Well, there's one on Fieldview Drive that's only $199,000. It's got three bedrooms and two baths. So,
can we just move on and talk about the other games, please?
Well, these are one on South Hickory. Just $69,500. Man, you know you're getting a deal with that. It may have termites. $69,500, you know, right on Hickory Street, right down the street from me. So those are available, you know. I'm going to leave this open just in case. You want to...
Let's take a trip around the FDC.
Cornerstone Court, $218,000, four-bedroom,
two-bath. Right. Look. Let's move along here. We got a lot of bowl games to talk about.
Oh, Lord. We're already over time. Let's do this quick.
All right. Again, Alabama crushed Florida in the SEC championship game. Yeah, everybody saw that coming out miles away.
Stupid Florida.
Big, big shock. So the playoff is set. Alabama against Michigan State. Clemson against Oklahoma.
I have one thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted Bama to have to play Michigan State and Oklahoma. I didn't want Clemson anywhere near this. Because I do not trust Clemson to get the Lord's work done.
Well, before we go talk about any of the bowl games, I'm going to say this again. The SEC is down this year across the board, especially quarterback play is terrible in the SEC everywhere.
We knew it was going to be.
But we thought it would be better, and it's much worse than and the SEC East is terrible. And I think the SEC is probably going to end up having a losing record in bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think any of these three teams are capable of beating Alabama. Michigan State went into Ohio State and beat them, shut them down. And with their backup quarterback, they went into Ohio State and beat that team. So, and I honestly, I wanted.
Need some college game day background music.
I wanted Alabama to have to play Oklahoma in Dallas.
Yeah.
That would be a really big home field advantage for Oklahoma. And I feel like Oklahoma and Clemson's offenses are going to give Alabama a lot of problems. But the other thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Michigan State, I mean, D'Antonio is 6-1 in his last seven games against top 10 teams.
So I don't feel bad about Michigan State's chances at all.
No, they can coach. That guy can coach.
We were already Michigan State fan from back in 2013. They put us in the BCS game.
That's right. And, you know, and...
Sparty!
We are Spartan.
Spartans!
All right, you ready to talk about the other ones?
I've got one space left on my board. I need to get... Spartans! What is your profession? who. I need that on here immediately. If they beat Alabama, I'm putting that on here.
All right.
Other bowls?
All right. Real quickly, here's the other SEC bowls. December 29th, LSU versus Texas Tech.
Yeah, it'll be tough. I mean, it all comes down to if Texas Tech can stop Fournette.
They can't.
Well, then LSU wins.
All right. We talked about our game a little bit, and we'll talk about it a lot more between now and then.
Cool.
December 30th, NC State, Mississippi State.
Here's the thing, John. Mississippi State, in any game, drags my interest level down 7.3%. They're a suck on my football interest, okay? But they're SEC, so it's not double digits. It's 7.3%. NC State, I have to admit, I have no ill will against NC State. Don't send me your tweets or emails that you hate me for saying this, but I'm just going to be brutally honest. North Carolina State, to me, is like a black hole of college football interest. The proximity of NC State to my college football watching is like a black hole coming into the star system and sucking up all the matter, sucking up the planet, sucking up the asteroid, sucking up the star, sucking all the life out of it. They are like a negative. They're like a void that sucks the energy and the life in. And so when you say that Mississippi State is playing, I'm like, yawn. And you say you're playing NC State, and I'm just like,
this is a must-watch game for you.
Oh, NC State, they're just like a they're like the magic eraser that erases away my interest in football. I just don't care. Right. If they ever did anything interesting, but I think they are literally the least interesting college football program in America. I'm more interested in Wyoming than I am in North Carolina State.
All right.
I'm more interested in Nevada than I am in North Carolina State.
All right. Louisville, Texas A&M.
Next. I don't want to hear about it. Crap.
Again, this is the other thing, just to prepare yourself. December 30th, 31st, January 1st, January 2nd. It's like four solid days of college football here.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
My lock of the week is that Louisville versus Texas A&M ticks me off.
Okay.
And I don't care who wins because I don't like either one of them.
Northwestern versus Tennessee on January 1st in the Outback Bowl.
Yeah, that could be fun like the Northwestern-Auburn game years ago.
No. The difference is this Northwestern team is all defense and no offense. This game's going to be like 13-10.
Oh, wow. Never mind then.
And here's another one just like that, Michigan-Florida.
Don't they play like every other year in a bowl game? They're like us in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. And then again, Georgia-Penn State, they played a few times.
Don't care. Really don't care. Yeah, well,
and again,
Kirby will be there, right, though? Kirby Smart will be there.
He'll
be coaching them.
I think he is. I don't think they're letting Rick coach the bowl game.
He's already in Miami, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And again, Georgia and Penn State, two teams with no offense. That game will be 6-3.
I want Mark Richt to coach every game at Miami in Bermuda shorts and Wayfarers.
I want Mark Richt to win a national championship at Miami in the next 5 years.
And
while Georgia suffers under mediocrity with Kirby Smart.
Living well is the best revenge.
Is the best revenge. And again, Georgia could have hired anybody in the country just about. I mean, outside of like Urban Meyer or Saban, they probably could have gotten anybody they wanted. But, and they said, we'll take Kirby Smart.
You know why. There's one simple reason why. Because Florida is in their heads, as you like to say. Florida is in their heads, and they said, oh, they went and hired a former Saban assistant coordinator guy, and look how good they turned out. They beat the snot out of us. We'll go get us one of them their former Saban coordinators.
Well, and he's their guy. He went to Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, I totally see why they did it. I totally do.
But I'm going to tell you what.
Whether it was a good idea or not, totally notwithstanding, I see why they did it.
Georgia's missed on some head coaches before. Everybody likes to forget this because Richt has been there so long. Their coaches before him were very mediocre. So I think it's not a sure thing that he's a good hire.
Hey, one of them is currently selling Zaxby's chicken fingers, and that's a good thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Ray Goff.
I mean, I'm just going to say, like, I was much more impressed with the coaches the ACC hired than the coaches the SEC hired.
It's Ray Goff. I come out and get my chicken fingers. I used to coach Georgia football. I can cook some chicken fingers now. They said if you can't beat the poultry, go back to Moultrie. And now I sell poultry. Red Goff, thank you.
And the last SEC bowl game is Kansas State Arkansas, I've watched Kansas State like three times this year. They haven't. They're on like their fourth string quarterback, and he's like a converted wide receiver. They can't throw the ball at all, and somehow he got them to 6-6. It's a freaking miracle. But Arkansas is going to beat them by 30. So
this is going to be another one of those games. Where another one of those seasons where Arkansas looks like world beaters at the end of the season, and next season we're going to have them in the top 10 and they're going to lose to Toledo again.
Yep.
All right, we'll get the coach in here during the off season. All right, John, have we gotten to the What Have We Learned segment, please, Lord?
That's where we are.
What have we learned tonight? What have we learned?
Well, we've learned that you really don't like some of these bowl matchups.
There is a house on South Julia Street that is only $64,000. I can't reiterate how good a deal that is.
And we've also, are unhappy with some Auburn fans.
River Rock Lane, $216,600. That's a pretty good deal. Smithton, Illinois, folks. Tell you, I'm going to do real estate listings if that's what those people want to talk about. I think that we've probably learned that Auburn will not be playing in the Music City Bowl. They're expecting me to drive 7.5 hours down to Birmingham to watch them play in Legion Field, a stadium that I stood in 1991 as the Iron Bowl was ending. And I said, as God is my witness, I will never stand in this stadium again. And then, of course, like a year later, I was there watching the Birmingham Fire play, which is probably punishment enough, right, to watch the Birmingham Fire play. But
I'd say
there's no way. I mean, you got to fear for your life going into that rattle trap. No, I did go in that stadium twice to watch Olympic soccer in 1996. But other than that, I think they'd already taken the upper deck out by then. And there's probably a whole generation of fans out there that don't know Legion Field used to have an upper deck. It's just that it was deemed unsafe and might collapse at any moment and kill everybody in it and under it. Yay, Birmingham. Woo, Legion All Field.
Right. A bunch of people, Auburn people, are going to be sitting in that stadium. So
I know, and bless their hearts. They're braver than me, and they didn't have to drive 7.5 hours, probably. Some of them probably did, though, honestly. I mean, sure. I've got friends that live in South Florida and drive all the way up to Auburn every weekend. I can't complain. I mean, So, good. God bless them. War Eagle.
Well, and we learned that somebody out there enjoyed the Les Miles segment.
But
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
And Van is not walking through that Legion Field door.
No, he's not.
Well, I think that we have come to the conclusion. One thing we've learned is that maybe Gus is going to talk to this Florida State guy if he hadn't already, and that sounds pretty good.
I'd be happy with him.
I'd be happy with him, too.
He's a good coach.
All right. Don't forget Lorendo. Awesome book, doing very well in sales. Don't forget Decades of Dominance, Auburn Football in the Modern Era. And Season of Our Dreams, they're out there, and our show needs revenue. We need a revenue stream. So send it in, or I'll do more house listings in Illinois. So, John.
Can he get that realty company?
We'll start a realty. We'll start a third podcast about real estate in Illinois and maybe make a little money on the side. So. All right. I think we'll call this, and my wife's going to kill me for us running 18 minutes over tonight, but hopefully our listeners out there got a little something out of this besides just like, bored. So, all right, gang. I think the only thing left to say at this point, and if we're all relieved for me to say it, is War Eagle, John.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
I can hook you up with a good listing in Smithton.
Good night, man.
Go to bed.